Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. On our Discord, we have started a play by post-adventure. Some of the characters are AI, some of them are real adventurers. Anyone is welcome to join. You just need to go to the thread and start posting. Here is one of the episodes of that play by post-adventure. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the adventure.
Start a scene.
Arriving at the windmill, the sage wizardess steps out of her shimmering teleportation aura, her gaze sweeping the surrounding area with an air of quiet contemplation. The night breeze rustles her silver curls, carrying the scent of damp earth and ozone. With a subtle gesture, she dispels the protective energy around her person, allowing it to dissipate into the wind. Well met, companions. Her pale lavender eyes meet yours. Her expression, serious and introspective. We've escaped the Mercy Killer's clutches for now, but the threads of fate remain tangled. We must gather our wits and prepare for whatever challenges lie ahead.
Several long minutes after Serafina's arrival, Noku and Gronk arrive, huffing and puffing from their haphazard flight from the Mercy Killers back at the Toll, the Blended Gate Cafe. Noku doesn't initially spot the wizard lurking behind the building's fence and turns to Gronk. You know, you shouldn't mess with the Mercy Killers like that. They'll probably put a bounty on your head now that you've actually attacked one of them. He pauses, a concerned look on his face. I guess I'm likely in the same boat now. I just hope they don't take it out on that bar. Was one of my favorite places to get a protein smoothie.
As Noku and Gronk approach, Serafina steps out from behind the windmill, her eyes softening with sympathy as she takes in their worn, haggard appearances. Noku's words ring true, my friends. The Mercy Killers will not forgive such affronts lightly. Her gaze shifts between them, a flicker of determination igniting within her lavender irises. But we must not let fear dictate our course. The secrets we seek are worth the risk. She pauses, her thoughts seeming to drift to the mysterious specter that emerged during their confrontation with the Battle Mage. There is a darkness stirring, a power beyond our comprehension. If we are to unravel its threads and hope to save Sigil from its grasp, we must be brave, resourceful, and united.
Gronk grunts, his massive frame relaxing slightly as Serafina's words offer a glimmer of hope amidst the chaos. He turns to Noku, a small grin playing on his lips. Ain't no bounty big enough to scare Gronk Ironfist. His voice is laced with bravado, but his eyes hold a hint of worry. Still, Noku's right. We need to lay low for a while, figure out our next move. He looks to Serafina, his expression serious. But if this darkness you're talking about is connected to the Mercy Killer's zeal, then maybe we should strike at their heart, take the fight to them. He flexes his thick arms, the muscle rippling beneath his green skin, as if urging him onward. If we don't, who will?
Mistweaver darts from the shadows, her emerald eyes glowing with an inner light as she lands beside Serafina. Her tail lashing in agitation. S.S. Gronk is right, Serafina. We cannot simply hide while the Mercy Killers and their Dark Masters plot our city's destruction. She fixes the sage with a piercing gaze. I propose we infiltrate the Mercy Killers' ranks, gather intelligence from within their midst. If we can unravel the threads of their power, perhaps we can sever them before they strangle us all. Her tone is resolute, her feline confidence unwavering. And if we fail, well, at least we will have fought for what we believe in until our very last breath.
A quiet clapping begins to be heard from the shadows of the windmill as a tall young man in robes steps into the light. Picking a fight with the Mercy Killers is not recommended, especially if your plan is to go off half-cocked and storm their gates. Luckily for you, I'm quite adept with the darkness and just so happen to be on the Mercy Killers' bedside. Perhaps we could help each other.
A cat's ears perk up at the stranger's voice, her gaze narrowing as she studies him. After a moment, she nods slowly, her emerald eyes glinting with a mix of curiosity and wariness. You speak as if you know more than you're letting on, Azrael Vex. She arches her back, extending a clawed paw to lightly touch his cheek. But I suppose knowledge is a valuable commodity in these uncertain times. What exactly do you propose we do? To aid each other, And what is your stake in the Mercy Killer's affairs? Her tone is measured, her feline instincts on high alert as she assesses the newcomer's intentions.
A small half-smile spreads across Azriel's lips as the cat finishes. My stake is simple, self-preservation. The cleansing draws ever closer, and I fully intend to not be part of the half that gets unloaded. The demons are uneasy, and that never bodes well for anyone. I also heard that you need help, and also your plan. I'm very good at infiltration, and even better at gathering information. Help to keep me alive, and I'll help to find whatever secrets you seek. Everyone wins.
Mistweaver studies. Azriel, for a long moment, her eyes roving over his features, as if trying to discern any hidden motives. Finally, she nods, a decision made. Very well, Azriel. You've earned a place at our table. She turns to face the others, her posture regal and authoritative. We have a plan, and it requires stealth, cunning, and a bit of luck. Infiltrating the Mercy Killer's ranks will not be easy, but with Azrael's skills and our determination, perhaps we can succeed where others have failed. Her gaze sweeps over each face, her emerald eyes shining with a fierce determination. But before we proceed, let us clarify our goals and ensure that we all move in harmony towards our objective. We fight not for personal glory, but for the fate of Sigil itself. She pauses, allowing her words to sink in. Are we in agreement? Mistweaver glances at Azriel before looking back at Seraphina, Noku, and Grom. She awaits their responses, her feline poise exuding confidence and strength.
The sage's gaze is distant, her thoughts lost in the labyrinthine paths of prophecy and fate. After a moment, she blinks, bringing her attention back to the gathering. Indeed, we must work together, each contributing our unique strengths to this endeavor. Her eyes meet Mistweaver's, a flicker of understanding passing between them. I will focus on unraveling the arcane threads that bind the Mercy Killers to their masters, seeking to sever those ties from within. My magic will be our shield and sword, allowing us to navigate the shadows unseen. She turns to Azriel, a hint of curiosity in her expression. Your skills in infiltration will be invaluable in uncovering their secrets. Together we can tip the balance of power and ensure Sigil's survival.
Azriel kicks off the wall and moves to join the others. Sigil is the only home I've ever known, and very lucrative in my line of work. Defending her is all I want. That, and to live. I'll do my part and help however I can. Let's just hope Big Green and the muscle-bound Redwood agree with my participation.
The sage's gaze softens, her expression warm with understanding as she looks at Azriel. We appreciate your dedication, Azriel. And rest assured, your unique perspectives will be welcome in our little family of misfits. She turns to Gronk and Noku, a smile playing on her lips. Shall we make this alliance official, my friends? With hearts and minds united, we may just find a way to guide Sigil through the coming storm unscathed.
Miss Weaver's tail lashes in excitement as Seraphina speaks of unity, her emerald eyes shining with a fierce light of camaraderie. She approaches Azriel, rubbing against his legs in a feline display of affection and trust. Yes, welcome to the family, Azriel. May the shadows guide us, and may our bond prove stronger than any darkness that dare threaten our city. Her gaze sweeps over the assembled group, a silent vow of loyalty and protection emanating from her regal feline form. Together, we shall be the guardian Sigil needs, now and always.
Meanwhile, back at the prison, Malachi arrives back with news of what transpired at the Blended Gate Cafe.
Upon returning to the Mercy Killer's stronghold, Malachi Blackwood seeks out Alliston Nilesia, the enigmatic factal who weaves the threads of destiny within the city's web of justice. His dark armor and the faint aura of arcane energy surrounding him speak volumes about the events he has witnessed. Factal, I bring grave news. The Mercy Killer's recent assault on the Blended Gate Cafe has been met with fierce resistance. He reports in a clipped, serious tone, his glowing eyes holding a hint of awe.
Alizon listens intently, her crimson gaze piercing through the shadows that shroud her. She stands at the forefront of the prison's command room, A room filled with the echoes of past judgments and punishments. The flickering candlelight casts an eerie glow upon her angular features, emphasizing her intense focus. Proceed, battle mage. Every detail is crucial in this war against the unworthy.
Malachi recounts the battle, his voice growing more agitated as he describes the half-orc Gronk and his interference. That brute Gronk was involved. He seemed invigorated by the chaos, striking down my brethren without hesitation. And there was a tiefling monk, Noku, who struck me from behind, buying the half-orc time to escape. A dark chuckle rumbles in his chest, a sinister delight evident in his expression.
The Factol's gaze narrows, her lips curling into a thin, mirthless smile. So, the unworthy persist in their defiance. The lady's patience wears thin. She raises a hand, and a spectral image materializes before them, depicting Gronk and Noku fleeing the scene. This half-orc, Gronk, will be a prime target for our forces. His strength is formidable, but it can be channeled for the greater good, or broken beneath the weight of our justice. Alison's gaze shifts, her eyes distant, as if peering into realms beyond the physical. Malachi, I have foreseen a disturbing trend in the tides of fate. The Hands of Havoc, a ragtag group comprised of the unworthy, seems poised to exploit the city's chaos for their own purposes. Their leaders harbor hunger for power that knows no bounds. Her voice drops to a whispered cadence, imbued with an air of ominous certainty. The Mercy Killers, in their zeal to purge Sigil of impurities, have inadvertently created an environment where the Hands of Havoc can thrive, like a cancer feeding on the city's wound. If left unchecked, they will spread their darkness, corrupting the very soul of our beloved Sigil.
Malachi's expression darkens, his eyes burning with an inner fire as he processes the Factor's words. The notion of a cancerous force infiltrating Sigil, fueled by the very institution meant to protect it, fills him with a cold, seething anger. We must act swiftly, Factor. The Mercy Killer's methods have bred a monster in the shadows, and it's our duty to cut it down before it's too late. His voice is low, a deadly promise of retribution echoing through the command room. I will lead the hunt for Gronk, and when the time is right, we will strike the final blow. The Mercy Killers will reclaim their lost honor, and Sigil will be restored to its former glory.
Instruction, Gronk, Seraphina, and Mistweaver. Please describe the safe house you take Azrael and Noku to.
After arriving at the windmill, Gronk leads the group to a secluded hideout in the Merchant's Ward, away from the watchful eyes of the Mercy Killers. It's an old abandoned warehouse, its metal exterior weathered to a dull gray and its windows boarded up. The heavy wooden doors have been reinforced with thick iron bars, providing a formidable barrier against any would-be intruders. Here's the spot, mateys. It's not much, but it's safe, for now at least. Gronk uses his axe to pry open the door, revealing a dimly lit interior strewn with crates, old machinery, and layers of dust. The air is musty, but there's a sense of anonymity that appeals to the half-orc's liking. Inside, you'll find some basic supplies and a couple of bunks to rest your heads. It ain't no palace, but it'll keep you from the Mercy Killer's grasp while we plan our next move.
The sage's eyes glow with a soft, otherworldly light as she surveys their new sanctuary. Her gaze drifts over the worn furnishings, taking note of the hidden nooks and secret passages that only an observant eye could discern. With a flick of her wrist, a faint, luminescent aura envelops the space, casting an ethereal glow upon the makeshift hideout. This warehouse has been cleansed of any malevolent energies, and its ancient magic will serve as our shield against the prying eyes of our enemies. She nods, her confidence in their safety bolstered by the whispers of the cosmos. Here, we can plan our infiltration of the Mercy Killer's ranks, Azrael, and prepare for the challenges that lie ahead. Rest, regroup, and let the threads of destiny weave their tapestry anew.
Mistweaver darts ahead, her emerald eyes glinting with excitement as she explores the warehouse's nooks and crannies. She pauses before a rusted, old door, her whiskers twitching as she senses something beneath the surface. Ahasses. Looks like there's more to this place than meets the eye, friends. With a playful swish of her tail, she pushes the door open, revealing a narrow stairway leading down into darkness. Could this be a hidden entrance to somewhere more sinister? Or perhaps a secret escape route, should things take a turn for the worse? Her inquisitive nature gets the better of her, and she disappears down the stairs, her muffled meows echoing through the silence, beckoning her companions to follow. The group ventures into the unknown depths of their new hideout. Noku and Azrael follow Mistweaver into the dark staircase, their footsteps echoing on the cold metal steps as they descend into the mystery below. The air grows cooler, and an acrid scent of mildew and age fills their nostrils.
Noku quickly scans the warehouse, noting a couple of rooms that might serve as a great group yoga area and a general medical spot. He raises an eyebrow at their cat companion's insistence on exploring the hidden passage, but figures it's better to fully know the layout of a place than not. Either this is just some additional storage, or maybe an old smuggling room. Doesn't seem normal for a warehouse to have a cellar like this. Wait, maybe they have some wine down here?
Azrael laughed at Noka's statement. Gods know there could be worse. If there is wine, though, I think we've all earned a bottle or five.
As they descend, the half-orc's keen senses pick up on the faint echoes of past events, whispers of illicit transactions, and the muffled sounds of struggles in the dark. This place has seen its fair share of shady dealings, matties. The air's heavy with the scent of darkness and deceit. His voice drops to a low rumble, a note of caution laced with intrigue. But don't you worry, as long as the witch and her feline friend keep watch, we'll be safe enough down here. Still, it'd be wise to keep your wits sharp and your eyes open. In this line of work, even a seemingly abandoned cellar can hide its share of dangers.
As they reach the bottom of the staircase, a large oaken door comes into view, adorned with intricate carvings depicting scenes of myth and mystery. The key, an antique silver piece with a pearlescent gemstone set into its center, has been tucked away in my robe since its initial discovery. With a measured motion, I retrieve it, my fingers grazing the cool metal. As I approach the door, a subtle vibration seems to emanate from its ancient surface, as if sensing the key's approach. With a soft click, the key slides into place, and the door creaks open, revealing a shimmering portal that seems to lead to another realm. The door opens onto a swirling plane of iridescent mist, its surface undulating with an ethereal energy. Beyond the threshold, indistinct shapes and colors blend in an otherworldly dance, hinting at secrets and wonders waiting to be uncovered. I gaze at the portal, a mix of trepidation and fascination coursing through me. This doorway holds the promise of untold knowledge and adventure, yet it also carries the weight of the unknown. Shall we cross into the mystic veil, my friends?
Gronk's eyes widen as the portal reveals itself, his gaze fixating on the swirling mist. A primal part of him, drawn to the unknown and the thrill of danger, urges him to step forward to see what wonders or perils lie beyond. Yet, a more cautious side of the half-orc warns of the risks, the uncharted territories that could swallow them whole. He turns to the others, his expression a mix of excitement and uncertainty. Well, well, look what we've got here. A portal to the Fey realm, perhaps? Or something darker, more sinister? His tone is light, but the underlying tension in his voice belies his unease. If we're to take a step into the unknown, we best be ready for whatever awaits us on the other side.
The sage's gaze sweeps over the surreal landscape, her mind racing to comprehend the wonders and mysteries that surround them. As she listens to the whispering presence's words, a shiver runs down her spine, the hair on the back of her neck standing on end. By the stars, this is a realm of echoes, of fading memories and shadows cast by the passage of time. Her eyes fixate on the castle's distorted reflections, a sense of melancholy washing over her. It seems we have stumbled into the court of shattered twilight, a place where the very essence of twilight itself holds court. The castle likely represents the pinnacle of this realm's forgotten grandeur, while the grove whispers tales of loss and reverence.
Azrael looks around cautiously at the grandeur of the castle and the forest that threw out doom and loss. My question is, what does this portal and what's happening here have to do with what's going on in Sigil. We need to take a moment and decide where we are going to investigate first. My vote is for the forest. If doom and pain is coming to Sigil, then we should probably start where the doom is emanating from.
Miss Weaver's ears perk up at the mention of the grove, a soft mew escaping her as she pads closer to the shimmering willows. Hasss. The whispers of sorrow seem to emanate from the grove, Seraphina. Perhaps there lies the key to unraveling the mystery of this twilight court and the echoes that haunt it. She turns to Azrael, her emerald eyes glinting with feline curiosity. The forest might hold secrets. At the heart of this realm, in all its melancholic beauty, seems to call to us. Shall we heed its siren song and delve into the grove's mysteries first?
Will each party member please vote on whether to proceed into the Court of Shattered Twilight or return to Sigil?
The sage's gaze remains fixed on the castle's distorted reflections, a sense of wonder and trepidation mingling within her. While the allure of the castle is great, I believe the grove holds the key to understanding the true nature of this realm and its connection to Sigil. She turns to the others, her expression resolute. I vote in favor of exploring the grove first. Its sorrowful aura may lead us to answers, and the whispers of pain could shed light on the impending doom that threatens our home.
Gronk's gaze darts between the two options, his half-orc senses on high alert as he weighs the possibilities. The castle's grandeur calls to his adventurous spirit, but the grove's palpable sense of loss and reverence strikes a chord within him. Aye, the forest it is. The whispers of pain and reverence. It feels important. We've got no guarantees the castle won't trap us in more shadows, while the grove might guide us to the heart of the issue. He nods, his decision made. I'm with Seraphina on this one. Let's tread softly through the willows and see where the shadows lead.
Back in Sigil, Tin Lucre enters the old warehouse, with Mercy Killer guards as backup. It appears to be deserted by Tin, recognizes an well-used security door in the interior.
The guards snap to attention, their faces hidden behind their helmets, as Tin Lucre enters the warehouse. They eye the investigator warily, recognizing him as the one who recently worked with Malachi Blackwood to uncover Gronk's involvement in their latest troubles. Investigator Lucre, what brings you to this forsaken place? The lead guard's voice is gruff, laced with a hint of suspicion. Are you here to question us about the recent incident? His gaze shifts to the security door, noting its unusual design. Or perhaps you're after the fugitive half-orc, Gronk Ironfist.
Merely here to investigate. What's behind the door? Tin asks.
The guards exchange a glance, then the lead guard responds. That door leads to an old storage room. Nothing of note, just some crates and old equipment. He gestures to Tin with a subtle hint of command. You're welcome to search it, but we'll be keeping a close eye on you, investigator. Remember, the Mercy Killers deal in justice, not mercy. The guards shift slightly, placing themselves between Tin and the door, their hands resting on the hilts of their swords in silent warning. If you uncover anything relevant to our ongoing cases, be sure to report back immediately. Discretion is paramount in our line of work.
Back in the Twilight Forest, Azrael nods, looking in contemplation. The forest has been calling to me since we arrived. I don't know if it's a sign from my patron, or just the call of the melancholy to my soul, but I feel this is where we should be looking. We should prepare if this has anything to do with the lady or what is taking place in Sigil. We may be walking into a nightmare.
Miss Weaver's tail lashes back and forth as she ponders Azrael's words, her ears twitching with the forest's whispers. After a moment, she nods, her emerald eyes gleaming with determination. Hasss, your wisdom is sound, Azrael. The melancholy aura surrounding the grove could be a beacon, drawing us to the heart of whatever darkness is brewing. She looks at Seraphina and Gronk, her feline form tense with anticipation. We must be cautious and prepared for the unexpected. The shadows within the grove may hold secrets, but they could also conceal hidden dangers. Let us proceed with care, and may the threads of fate guide our path.
As you step into the grove, the air grows heavier, charged with an unspoken reverence. Towering willows with silvery bark form a canopy above, their branches cascading like shimmering curtains of starlight. Each leaf glows faintly, casting pale, flickering light onto the forest floor, which is carpeted in moss that feels softer than any fabric. The grove is eerily quiet, broken only by the soft sound of crystalline droplets falling from the willow's leaves. These tears collect in small, glowing pools that hum faintly with a haunting melody, as if the very water remembers an ancient sorrow. Looking closer, you see fleeting images ripple across their surfaces, glimpses of masked figures, grand feasts, and fading laughter. The light in the grove seems wrong somehow. Shadows stretch longer than they should, bending subtly toward you. The faint scent of lilacs and frost fills the air, evoking a bittersweet memory you can't quite place. As you step further, the grove feels alive, almost aware of your presence. A gentle breeze stirs the branches, though no wind should reach this place. A whisper brushes past your mind, carrying no words, but the unmistakable weight of longing. The grove watches. What do you do?
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.